My name is Garland Robinson. I want to invite your attention to Matthew chapter 15. Beginning in verse 7 we read, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." In this passage, Jesus classified some religion as vain religion. We think of religion as a profession of a relationship with God. There may be a true relationship with God, or there may be an empty or vain or wrong relationship with God. There's a true religion, and there's a false religion. Now, true religion, which of course is the right religion, is based upon divine truth, the Bible, the Word of God. It operates in full and beautiful harmony with what the Bible teaches. But usually, when there's something of great value, there will be attempts to copy it with that which is counterfeit. And that happens all the time in the world. For example, the counterfeit money. But it also happens too frequently in the realm of religion. A vain religion is a counterfeit religion. It's empty. It's not the real thing. It's fake. It's not going to save souls. It'll not bring real peace of mind to the human heart. Vain religion, though it's mentioned in the Bible several times, stands condemned from cover to cover. Because many honest people practice vain religion, it's worth our time and effort to make a diligent study of it. I surely don't want my religion to be in vain, and surely you don't want your religion to be in vain. The only way now to avoid our religion being in vain is to go to the Bible and see what the Bible says about it. So let's look at a vain religion that's mentioned by the Lord in regards to the Pharisees. The scribes and Pharisees of the first century were mentioned with a great deal of prominence. They were the men pleasers of their day. They desired the public eye. They wanted to do things for show. They worked out a very elaborate system in which they sought to impress the common people with their pretended piety and external exhibition of religious show. Jesus discussed these matters in Matthew chapter 6. He said they gave their alms or their contributions in order to be seen of men. Quite frequently, they would engage in prayer in a public place so everybody would be able to see them and think perhaps how religious or spiritual they were. Our Lord did not condemn public prayer, but He did condemn the show of it, the design of which was to receive the praise of men. Jesus said that when men saw them give alms or pray, that they had received their reward. That is, they've got all the reward they're going to get, and that it came from men, it did not come from God. Jesus said they would even disfigure their faces in order to let people know that they were fasting. In the entire chapter of Matthew 23, Jesus showed their vain religion, their pretense, that they were hypocrites. He said in Matthew 23:3 that they say and do not. In 23:5 he declared, "But all their works they do to be seen of men." Apparently never dawned on them that the religion that expresses itself in an outward fashion only for the praise of men is a vain religion. But on the other hand, God-approved religion is that which is according to the Scriptures. Now let's look at something here in thinking about the fact that human tradition is empty. These people who practice the religion of vanity placed a premium upon human tradition more so than divine authority. Yeah, they were quite scrupulous about washing their hands before they ate. Had that been just an act of cleanliness or personal hygiene, the practice would have been commendable. Nothing wrong with that. However, they made a religious rite out of it, and they found fault with the disciples of Jesus because they ignored it. The Bible states in Matthew 15, 1 and 2, "Then there come to Jesus from Jerusalem Pharisees and scribes, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." This practice originated with the traditions of the elders, which were composed of humanly devised laws. The law of Moses, that's the law under which they lived, it included no such requirement like that. So men came up with that along the way. These people were making the same fatal mistake in religion that a lot of people do today. Number one, they were seeking to make and bind a law that God did not make. Number two, they were seeking to cling partially to divine law and partially to human tradition. They had accepted a mixture of the two. And quite frequently, the two are in conflict, even as it is now. When there was a conflict in the first century between divine ordinances and human traditions, the divine, according to them, had to go unattended, while the human tradition had to be placed in the forefront. It's still much that way today. People have far greater reverence for their human traditions than they do for a thus saith the Lord. Many religious people today will not even be offended when someone is destructively critical of the Bible. Yet those same people get up in arms at a moment's notice if anyone criticizes their favorite tradition. The scribes and Pharisees of Christ's day paid greater reverence to the human traditions than they did the divine decrees of God. In fact, Jesus said they would defy God's law in order to keep their own tradition. Friends, vain religion leads conclusively to vain worship. Vain worship leads to a vain life, and a vain life leaves one an empty hope for the future. You're not going to be able to espouse an empty religion and still possess a well-grounded hope that all will be well with your soul. One cannot participate in vain worship and leave a vibrant hope of heaven for eternity. One cannot be empty in life of spiritual values and expect to reap a full reward of heavenly happiness in the world to come. Friend, it just does not work that way. Both Scripture and common sense attest to that accuracy. So what's the end result of following tradition? It makes the law of God void. It keeps one from worshiping in an acceptable manner. Vain religion has always led to vain worship. It did in the days in which our Lord lived, and it does the same thing today. Now let's make some application of the principles we've learned from these things that we've read about in regards to vain religion. Mouth and heart, or lips and mind, must be in harmony if God is to be worshipped correctly. The lips cannot pray acceptably unless the scripturally worded prayer flows from a heart that responds with a demand for unison. The lips cannot pray a prayer of purity if abomination abides in the heart. Solomon, the wisest of the ages, said in Proverbs 28, verse 9, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination." The Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord." Many times churches of Christ are faulted for singing without the accompaniment of a mechanical instrument of music. It is true that we sing without a mechanical instrument, but it's not true that we sing without any kind of instrument. We're to sing with grace in our hearts unto the Lord. The Bible says the instrument we use is our heart. We're to make melody in the heart. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19 we read, "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord." Now the heart, not a mechanical device such as a piano or guitar or organ, the heart is God's approved instrument upon which we make melody. To worship by authority of the doctrines of men is a most serious matter. and the use of mechanical instruments of music in accompaniment with our singing of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs makes vain the worship of every person who engages in it. But if we follow the Lord's way and sing a cappella, which means without accompaniment of man-made instruments, then we meet with God's approval. What was it that caused the worship of some in Jesus' day to be vain or empty? Why did Jesus Christ write vain over the religious worship and practices of the scribes and Pharisees? It was because they did what they wanted to do. They did what was done by tradition. They could not point to the Scriptures and show the authority for those things of which they were involved. They made their appeal to the wrong source. If pursuing the doctrines of men made their religion vain and their worship was empty, will it not make the same result now? True worship must be dictated by divine authority. That is the Word of God. That's the book, the Scripture, the Bible that we look to today. And anything that one does as a Christian must be authorized in the Scriptures. The Bible warns about following after the doctrines and creeds and traditions of men. Notice what we read in 2 John 9. Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. When we do something not authorized in the Bible, it is vain and empty. It is useless as far as God is concerned, as far as we are concerned, and we will not be rewarded for doing so. We must love the truth and obey God and do His will. If we can assist you in your obedience to the gospel, give us a call, and we bid you a very pleasant good day.